Aloha and welcome to Amen Podcast, where we preach the good news of Jesus Christ and how it applies to everyday life. I'm Lokelani, your host, and today my husband Alex is preaching about
being a doer of the word. Do you do? This week, or actually last week, Lokelani and I had a chapel at our house Sunday nights. Same message you hear here on the podcast, we preach there. And afterwards, we're like, we're so hungry, we didn't eat. We're too busy talking to everyone. And so it's late at night. We go to a website to order food. And she says, yeah, let's get food from here. As we're ordering, we realize this place is going to close very soon. Let's order somewhere else. So we order somewhere else. And then I'm like, okay, I'll go get it. And I'm about to jump into my truck. Some people are still hanging out after chapel. I start talking to them. I get distracted. I go to the original place that we first were going to order food from, which was the wrong place. When I get there, I run into someone that I know from back in the day, and she says, oh, my pastor. And I was like, yeah, good to see you. And so we made this connection, but then I got so embarrassed because I realized I'm at the wrong place. And so I jump back in the truck and I go to the right place, and time was wasted. There was embarrassment. Why? I wasn't a doer of what Lokelani's word was telling me to do. I heard her, but I wasn't truly listening, and I wasn't a doer. So what happened? There was embarrassment. There was time wasted. God still used and salvaged my mistake by the lack of doing the word. But like I said, there was some time wasted. And there's going to be many times in your life where God is asking you, are you going to be a doer or just a hearer of the word? And that's what Jesus is going to get into today. How do we do? You want to pray for us and then we'll read the scripture?
Yes, I'd love to. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for our friend on the other side listening, whether it's on their TV, with their AirPods, or just while they're driving in the car. Lord, we're so grateful for our friend, and we just pray that this message would penetrate deeply, that we would learn what it truly means to be a doer of your word, that we would love obedience, and that we would continue to look to you on how to obey you and see the model that your son Jesus so perfectly laid out for us. And so we ask for your Holy Spirit's power as Alex shares this message, and that this would just have lasting impact and a fruitful transformation in our lives. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 29.
All who listen to my instructions and follow them are wise, like a man who builds his house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floods rise and the storms winds beat against his house, it won't collapse, for it is built on rock. But those who hear my instructions and ignore them are foolish, like a man who builds his house on sand. For when the rains and floods come and storm winds beat against his house, it will fall with a mighty crash. The crowds were amazed at Jesus' sermons, for he taught as one who had great authority and not as their Jewish leaders.
Amen. So in verse 24, when we first get started, Jesus is saying, all who listen to my instructions. What he means is his Sermon on the Mount. This is the last installment, the last bit, the last part of chapter 7, where the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' most famous sermon, the most famous sermon ever given, is ending. And so he's saying, if you listen to the last episodes, if you listen to what we just talked about, if you listen to my words and the instruction and the wisdom that I'm dropping, if you're picking up what I'm putting down, you will be like a wise person who builds his house on rock. Right now, we are parked on rock that is covered in sand. I have a two-wheel drive truck. It's not four-wheel drive. If I were to start driving on sand, I would get stuck immediately. Even though this truck is small, even though it's light, doesn't matter. It's not built to last on sand. It needs something more solid to drive on. Do you see what I'm saying? The human heart is not built to have its foundation on something that is not solid. The only thing that is solid, the only thing that is legit is Jesus Christ. He's the only person, the only thing that is strong enough, the only God who's strong enough to hold up how your heart is made. God never intended to make your heart with the ability to hold up itself. He made it with the ability to depend on him completely. So Jesus is saying, when you build a life on me, when you do what I'm instructing, when you do what I'm telling you, you're like a person building his house on rock. Now, what this means is Jesus was a carpenter growing up, working with his dad, Joseph. And so he knew how to build houses, knew how to build tables, knew how to build baseball bats, if they had those back then. He would know what it takes to build a house. And so he's saying, when a person builds a house, when they're wise, they don't just start building, they first lay down a foundation. When they put down the foundation, which takes time, which is extra steps, and maybe when you lay a foundation, there's less wood involved, right? There's more rock, there's more other elements. A carpenter knows wood by trade. And so even when you're laying that foundation, sometimes you're like, man, I don't really know. I just know this needs to be solid and strong. I don't really know all the different details really, but I just know that this is strong enough to hold up the wood I'm going to put on top of it. And likewise with Christ, you know, you may not know everything about him as the rock of ages, everything about him as the solid rock foundation, but you know he's solid. And so when you put your trust in him, it's like you're laying down that foundation and you're saying, I'm not going to go any further in building my life. I'm not going to go any further in trusting my heart with something that I know may not be good. I'm going to trust in this thing. I don't know everything about the foundation, but if I know one thing, I know rock is hard. I know rock is solid. And so that is who I'm going to build my life upon. Jesus says, when you do that, your house is going to be able to do what? Stand the test of time. Just because, what does it say in verse 24? Go ahead. Yes, please.
All who listen to my instructions and follow them are wise, like a man who builds his house on solid rock.
And then in verse 25, what happens? A storm comes. Whoa, Jesus. I thought you just said if we build our house upon your foundation, aka if we do what you're teaching in the Sermon of the Mount, if we do that, then nothing bad's going to happen to me, right? No, Jesus says, even if you are wise, even if you are righteous, even if you are my child, even if you are building upon your life upon my foundation, even if you do that, bad things are still going to happen to you. My dad last week quoted C.S. Lewis, and C.S. Lewis says that someone asked him, why do bad things happen to you, to good people, to Christians? And C.S. Lewis says, they're the only ones that can truly take it. They're built for it. Just because you're following Christ doesn't mean the storms are not going to come. Mm. What does it say in verse 25? It says rain comes in torrents. Mm. This is buckets of water from the sky. Torrents. The floods rise. Floods rise. What else? Storm winds beat against the house. This is enough to rip your house off the ground and send it flying if you do not have a solid foundation. So don't ask yourself, God, why are these things happening to me? Ask yourself, God, why have you allowed me to build on the solid foundation? Why have you built me to last during these storms? What is coming after this storm that I've been built for, that you need me to be involved in, that you need me to stand in? So we know why we need to do. Because we want to have that kind of strength in calamity. Whatever's coming, I mean, work-related, relationship-related. I don't know what's around your corner. I don't know what kind of stress or temptation you're going to find yourself in. But Jesus is saying the reason why you need to do what I'm saying is because when you build upon the rock, when you do what I'm saying, you're built to last for eternity, no matter what happens. So, but here's a problem. The problem comes in verse 26. You want to read that for us?
Yes. But those who hear my instructions and ignore them are foolish, like a man who builds his house on sand.
So Jesus is saying, the problem is we don't do what he's saying. We are like the foolish man who we like to hear wow, what a great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus. That was awesome. We like to hear the episodes. We like to hear the sermons. We like to hear the songs, but we don't like to do. So what he's saying is this guy is still building something. He's still building a house. I don't know how to build a house, but I know there's a lot of details, a lot of like intricate, you know, master mechanic, master carpentry stuff going on, engineering stuff. He's still building a house. This is what hit me so hard. Because he's saying, just like last week, you can say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't I do all these things and still go to hell? You can be religious in your tone, but not godly in your heart.
Hmm.
So Jesus is saying, you can still be building a house, but it's on the wrong foundation.
Hmm.
What he's doing is he's skipping a giant step because it takes too long.
Hmm.
This kind of person, a foolish person, is a get-rich-quick schemer. It's somebody who's saying, oh, foundation, nah, it's not important. Let's just get the house. Let's just get the part everyone can see. But let's not build all the heavy stuff. We don't really want to do all that. So let's just build it up on the sand. He skips a major step. This is someone who just wants to upscale, someone who just wants to get famous, get accolades, get recognition without getting their heart right with God. Without stopping to say, man, am I really on that narrow path?
Mm-hmm.
Am I really following the Beatitudes? Am I really walking? Oh, I must be, because look at all the great things I've done. Look at all the great people I've reached. Look at my accolades. Jesus says, even if you come to me and you say, Lord, Lord, didn't I do X, Y, Z? Those can all be great things, but they're not great if you've done them for the wrong reasons. If your foundation isn't on him. When you don't do what God tells you to do, when you don't obey his word, it's like building your life on a weak foundation, a foundation that's just going to give, like verse 27 says, for when the rains and the floods come, the storm winds beat against that house, it will fall with a mighty crash. Another translation says, how great is the fall of it.
Mm.
When a person builds a religious life, but doesn't build it truly in their heart upon obeying God's word, the crash is great. Listen to the story of Rabbi Zacharias, if you know that story. Mm-hmm. Listen to the story of, let's say, Carl Lentz, people who had this great, big, giant, beautiful religious life house, but because it wasn't built upon Christ and actually obeying his words, how great is the fall of it?
Wow.
He's saying, not that it just falls, but how great is the fall? Mm. It's a mighty crash.
Mm.
Because the house was there. How great is the fall of a person who says, Matthew 7:22, Lord, Lord, didn't I cast out demons? Didn't I tell people about you? Didn't I do great works in your name? How great is that fall to go from that place to Jesus saying, I never knew you, and now go to hell? That's heavy. Jesus says, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. How great is the fall to go from heaven to hell? And that's essentially what happens when you go from building your house on sand, this great, beautiful house, till the storms come. Now, what's interesting is Jesus says the same storms and the same things that hit the foolish man are gonna hit the wise man. He's saying that even though the foolish man doesn't look like a foolish man because he has a cool house on the sand, he's still foolish because he skipped the foundation. And the same storms, the same sun that shines on the wicked shine on the righteous. The same rain that falls on the wicked falls on the righteous. The same storms that hit the wicked hit the righteous. The difference is the righteous can stand the test of the storm. So how do we do? If we know that the way to build our life on him is to do, because to do means to obey. Obey means to love. If you love Jesus, you'll obey him. If you do what he says, what you're saying is, I love him. What's interesting also is the more you do what God tells you to do, the more you obey God's word, what happens is you start to love him more. Why would we not do? Why would the foolish man do this? Why would he build his house on sand? Essentially, what he's saying is, I know better. Or he's saying, I'll be fine. And that's our spiritual standpoint a lot towards God. I see this in my kids' life. I see it in my own life. when I choose to give into temptation, when my kids choose to disobey me, what they're saying is, nah, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Nah, it'll be okay.
Yes.
Nah, you know, yeah, sure. You're just trying to kill my fun. You know, I'll be okay. I know better. I know what's best for me. Anytime you choose sin over God, what you're saying is, God, I don't actually trust and believe that you love me, that you actually want what's best for me, that you want to give me an abundant life, that you want to keep me from turmoil that can hurt me spiritually. I don't trust all that. And so I'm just going to do it my way. That's why we don't do. But when we get to the point like my kids, when we went to Hanalei this week, they jumped off the pier without me having to be in the water. And their Lokelani was saying, I remember when Alex had to be in the water for them to jump off the pier because it was just too high, too scary for them. Now they do it because they know they've built so much trust in me and in my words, they can do it alone. We went to Target and there's this giant wall next to Target. And I told them, go to the top of the wall and jump off the wall. Now there's no water to catch them, only me and grass. And it's a very high up. So at that point, grass starts to feel like cement. And they were scared, but I told them, you got it, you got it, you got it. And eventually they did it. And we all cheered for them. It was an amazing moment because they're learning to trust me and trust the fact that I know how much you can handle. I know how much you can take. I know how far your fear will try to hold you back, but I know how much your trust will get you to jump.
Yeah.
And that's what God is telling you. Why do we not do? It's because we don't trust. It's because we don't love. It's because we don't have the humility to say, I don't know better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how do we get there? Look at this in verse 28. Can you read that for us?
The crowds were amazed at Jesus' sermons.
Again, being amazed is not enough. Being amazed doesn't mean you're saved. Being astonished doesn't mean you've experienced salvation. Unless the Holy Spirit fills Jesus' sermons, there is no change in the heart of these people. That's what Jesus is really wanting the disciples to understand. All these people in the crowd are amazed, but they are booing and saying, crucify him at Jesus' crucifixion. All the disciples who he's talking to right here, they end up leaving him when he gets arrested. What's happening? Jesus wants us to know you can be amazed at a sermon, even if it's the most perfect sermon on earth, and still not be changed by a sermon unless the Holy Spirit accompanies the work. It was once the Holy Spirit fell on Peter at Pentecost in the book of Acts, 3,000 people came to Christ. That's a crowd. That time the crowd was changed. Why? The Holy Spirit fell. You see how God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they work together. They're one, but they're God in three persons, but they work together. Even Jesus in his perfect sermon, the hearts weren't changed until the Holy Spirit came and fell at Pentecost. Mm-hmm. Jesus doesn't do things without the Holy Spirit. He always walked step in step exactly where God was leading him and exactly where the Holy Spirit was working in the hearts of men. So I can rest as a preacher. You can rest as a child of God to say, God, I don't know why my neighbors aren't being saved other than the fact that your Holy Spirit has to do the work. God, I can do mission trip after mission trip. I can post video after video. I can preach sermon after sermon. I can help in children's church. I can serve in the tech booth. I can serve in the worship team. I can serve in all these different places, God. But unless your Holy Spirit accompanies my work according to your providential plan, nothing's going to happen. So we can rest and say, it's not on me. It's on me to do and to obey and to let God do the work from there.
Mm-hmm. So good.
And in verse 29, it shows us the secret on how to do.
Mm-hmm. For he taught as one who had great authority and not as their Jewish leaders.
He's saying he taught differently. Mm-hmm. He had authority. They were amazed because of the content, and they were amazed because of the command of his teaching. Mm-hmm. But they weren't changed by either of those things. Though Jesus had the authority, they weren't changed. They were amazed, but not changed. Now, what that means is this. Jesus has all authority on heaven and earth. It's been given to him. And even with that authority, because we are the ones that are like the crowds who are amazed but not changed, who hear but not do. With his authority, what he does is he takes the crash. He has the authority because he always built his life, always walked step in step with God's word. He built his life upon the rock. But even with that authority, even with building his life on God, why did he take the crash? He just said that wouldn't happen. It's because we are amazed and not changed. It's because we hear but don't do. So he said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the cross and I'm going to take the crash for you. The crash of the foolish man's house. You can see Jesus looking for footing on the cross, and he can't find the footing. You can see Jesus reaching out for something solid. My God, why have you forsaken me? And he can't find it. There's no answer. Oh, our umbrella fell down. But we have shade. Amen. Old Testament, the Holy Spirit shaded the people of God. Mm-hmm. And that's what the cross did. The scorching heat of God's wrath was coming down upon us, but God's shade covered us. Jesus is God's shade to cover us from that wrath. Now we get to feel the warmth and the pleasure of the sun rays without being scorched by them. Mm. We get to feel the righteousness of God without it burning us to our core, because that's what we deserve. Mm. And on the cross, he says, I'm going to take the crash for you so that you can start to do. Jesus says, I'm going to write the word upon your heart. Because if it's on your heart, then you can do. If it's just in your head, then you're just hearing and you're not doing. But he says, through the cross and through the love that you see that I'm laying down my life with, through that, I'm going to take the word from your head and put it in your heart so that you can actually do. So that the word will be coursing through your veins so that you won't step in the way of temptation. You'll be able to walk in the way of righteousness.
So good.
He did that for us. So every time you start to feel those storms beat against your house, every time you start to feel the rain and the wind hit upon your life and things are just going awry, you can say, God, my life is built on Jesus. What would you have me do right now in this moment? Mm-hmm. Because Jesus took the crash that I deserve to get from this storm. I can say right now, my life is built upon Jesus. Okay, so where in the word do I need to look? Mm-hmm. So just a quick example. When I'm with my kids and I want to snap at them, I realize that God's kid got snapped upon undeservingly because of the righteousness of God and because of my sin. Mm-hmm. So what I can do is I can say that right there gives me the strength to have mercy, to have grace. So what is the storm that you find yourself in right now that you need to ask God, am I living and doing like I'm built for this? Mm. Jesus rose again from the grave to show us that he truly did build his life upon the rock. Mm-hmm. After the storm, his house was rebuilt. Because why? He was the righteous man, the wise man who built his life upon God when we didn't. And the resurrection proves that if you build your life upon doing God's will, doing God's word, being a hearer and a doer, you will rise. No storm ever is going to be able to crash you. That's what the resurrection proves. Mm-hmm. It's going to be okay. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. Thank you for Jesus and the example that he gives us. Thank you for the resurrection and the promise in that. Help us, God, now to be doers, not just hearers. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. This is the part of the episode called After the Amen, where we ask you a question to help you apply this message to your life. Our question today is, what does God want you to do? What does God want you to do? I'll go first. Wow, this sermon was just so good, and I feel like I say that every week, but it really was, and I just... You know, as I was pondering this question throughout, it was just, you know, obey. What does he want all of us to do is obey. And that looks obviously different in all of our lives, depending on where, what he's doing in our lives and what he wants us, how he wants us to follow him in obedience. But I love when Alex said that when we disobey, we say, I'll be fine. Oh, I'll be fine. We think. But I think what we need to do is when it comes to obedience, sometimes we need to say, I'll be fine as well. Because I think sometimes obedience is scary, and because there's a cost that comes with obedience. But like Alex shared with the resurrection, we will truly be fine. Actually, we will be the best we need to be when we obey. We might go through some hard situations like broken relationships or just even your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ sometimes might not understand why your obedience looks different from theirs. You know, why God is asking you to do something that is so contrary to how the world operates, right? And so I think, yeah, we just need to obey. And I love how this sermon is about building your house on the rock and not the sand, because I think about this resort here on Kauai. It's not built on the sand, but it's right next to the beach. And 31 years ago, the year that we were born, a huge hurricane, Hurricane Iniki, swept through the island. And we have seen the rubble from that for 31 years. They're just now trying to rebuild it. And people are like, that's kind of crazy because it's probably just going to happen again. It's super close to the shore. But regardless, for 31 days, we have seen the rubble. And I love how you kind of painted that picture for us, Alex, about what disobedience looks like. And that was one of the most gorgeous resorts on island. Elvis vacationed there, and it is so hideous to look at. Every time we're driving through the east side and we see that, it looks horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we don't want our lives to end up like that. And so God wants me to look at that picture, you know, for as long as it's going to still be rubble, and know that the life of disobedience leads to rubble, to just filth, to trash like
that's
that.
That's so good.
And he doesn't want that for our lives. That's why he sent his son, Jesus. Jesus willingly died on our behalf. And so I want to honor that. I want to remember his sacrifice, and I don't want to take it lightly, but I want to let it transform how I think and how I act and how I obey. And so this is just such a good sermon. Thank you, Alex.
You're so welcome.
Yeah.
That was a great response. And it's going to be hard for you guys to beat that, but no, I'm just kidding. We want to hear from you guys. What was the question again?
What does God want you to do?
Yes. What does God want you to do? And it's not a competition. Everyone has their own way of like letting this word soak into their hearts. Yes. And so it's encouraging to us on how to be better teachers of God's word when we hear from you guys, and it encourages us in our ministry. So we want to hear, and we want to build this community more.
Yes.
Speaking of that, Amen Podcast on Instagram. That's how we share behind the scenes of our life, so that you guys can really help us walk with accountability and integrity. You can see how we live, see the details of our life, ask us questions on there. Come to Amen Chapel on Sunday nights. If some of you guys tell us we're coming to Kauai, and we can DM you our address and let you guys come hang out with us. And so with that said, we want you guys to help us in another way, and that's in prayer. We're praying that we could buy the property that we live on right now so that we can continue to do Amen Chapel. Our hope and our vision is to make it a gated little area, a gated house, and be able to put our address on our website, on our Instagram, so that when anyone comes to Kauai for a vacation or a missions trip or something, we can be able to host you at Amen Chapel, have a little service where we can preach and worship with you guys. Mm-hmm. And so also, it's just, we need a studio. You guys see us like we're outside making content. Some days it's raining, sometimes the weather doesn't permit it. And so to be able to have a property would just be an amazing gift to our ministry. And so help us pray about that, guys. That would mean so much. And if you'd like to support us financially to keep this podcast ad-free and to keep it going, amenpodcast.com helps us preach the good news all over the world. And with that said, what does God want you to do? And we love you, and we'll see you in the next one.
Until then, go out and be the church.
Amen.